Whether she's playing a foul-mouthed maid, an archaeologist turned vengeful superhero, a bushranger, or the literal rainbow serpent doling out economic commentary, Megan Wilding has been delighting people with her comedic timing and sheer presence whenever she graces the stage or screen. But here and away, you first met Megan as a playwright. Back in 2017, she joined Daniel Browning here on Away to discuss her play, A Little Piece of Ash. And soon after, she was awarded the Belknaves Fellowship for an unpublished piece that delved into the parallels she saw between intimate sexual violence and the brutalities of colonization. That play has been on an incredible journey and has just now opened at Melbourne's Malthouse Theatre. It's called Game Set Match, and Megan joined me in the Away studio to discuss the show and what drives her to write.
I think it's processing. I think that there's a limitation within myself to vocalize my thoughts, my philosophies, and I think that sitting down and writing helps me ponder and process a little bit more what my heart, my soul, and my mind is trying to say. So I go and type it out and read it and go, ooh, what do I mean? And it's just, I think it's nice to sit with words and write the words. So that's why I do what I do, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of lovely to hear you talk about writing as a way of processing. Mm. I'm very aware that Game Set Match is a show that has had quite a journey. Where did it initially come from as an idea?
I was 2 years out of drama school, acting, trying to discover what it is to do theatre, good theatre, and also had time finally in my like late 20s to kind of catch up with everything that had passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was sitting around in 2017 just catching up with myself, and I played tennis as a kid and like processing the colony and acting and conversations, and there's this conversation between white and black Australia that I think sometimes we try to navigate without fully just confronting each other with facts. I guess it all got chucked in a slow cooker and kind of mingled around, and Game Set Match was born, which was like, I guess it was circumstance, history, and myself all kind of aligning in 2017 to pull out this idea. And then I put in for the Belknaves Award at Belva, and it got chosen. And so it was massaged in Belva, originally started with like four characters, and then sat for a bit because I don't know if I was in a place to fully go where the piece needed me to, or the conversations we were having needed to catch up. And so it sat, and then in, I think it was 2021, which is what, 4 years from its birth, it won the Griffin Award. And then it was massaged again in Griffin Theatre. And again, I think the same conversations were coming up with just, I don't know if we were understanding the potential of it. And then it just sat, and I continued to work as an actor, continued to work as a writer on other things, and collaborated with Jessica Arthur, who's my director now at Malthouse. And she was hassling me for years and years and years about this play that I'd written, and I just avoided, because you go, oh, maybe not yet. And I sent it to her, and she read it, And then she took it to Malthouse and Malthouse went, yep. And then here we are. Which it's a wild journey, but there was like so many different people wanted to have a yarn about this particular conversation that I'm bringing up in this play, which I think is why it's appealing. But also it's been a huge, huge journey where ego had to sit back and creator had to come and talk, and then sometimes ego had to come and back herself. And it's I feel like where I'm at as an artist now is exactly what Game Set Match deserves from someone.
The version of the show that I have read is the 2021 script. How much has it changed in this last kind of block of sitting and waiting and then finally being ready?
2021, I think it still had four characters, yes?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, now it has two. So it's changed quite a bit. I think it's punchier, gutsier. So it seems braver and bloodier. I'm the most happy I've been with the script so far. A lot has changed, but I think the underlying fire is still the same. It's just like, I think the characters now have more of a hold of it and aren't shying away from it, which I think in 2021, writer Meg was scared of.
Mm. Also, I think the conversations that we're having as a society have mm-hmm. really changed
yeah.
between 2021 and now. The way that we talk about and tolerate sex, violence, sexual mm-hmm. violence, colonial impact and mm-hmm. colonial violence, all of these conversations have progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Has Game Set Match evolved along with those conversations?
I think it has. Just like every day in this colony, especially after the 2023 referendum, where, you know, there was a great heartbreak with the Voice to Parliament referendum. But then the rebuild of going, I don't need anyone to tell me whether I have a voice or not. You're assuming that I didn't have one before this. Haha, joke's on you. So it's just the everyday affirming who I am, where I stand in this colony, I think feeds into where Game Set Match is sitting now. I think it's confidence. I think it's just going, I don't want lies anymore. We're being fed lies so much, and it seems so easy for people to lie to us. And I think we're smarter. We are. I think we prove that every single day, how intelligent we are to say bullshit.
Mm.
Bullshit. I mean, I see it in the matriarchs I'm surrounded by, the artistry of Black women I've witnessed in my career, but also have just like been inspired by. There's a confidence, there's a wave of matriarchy coming that I think has just made Game Set Match for me more exciting, more honest.
When I think about the show, I can't help but think about it in the context of two shows that for me really celebrated female rage.
Uh-huh.
Blackie Blackie Brown by Nakia Louie.
Yes, yes.
Obviously you have performed in that show.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that came to mind is God Is, which yes. was performed at Sydney Theatre Company a few mm-hmm. years ago. Where do you find the most catharsis in sort of a literary or fictional space? Like, is it as a performer, a viewer, a writer?
Oh, I think it's all of it. I think I wear many hats and Meg likes different things. Sometimes it's just silence, you know? Sometimes it's just like looking at my country and just seeing the heat waves on the horizon. Sometimes that's where that comes from. Sometimes it's a really good HBO show. Sometimes it's the theater. Sometimes it's a little sweaty room with Barker on a mic. Sometimes it's having a couple of cigarettes with my best friend, Delara. Sometimes it's going to have a burger with Bianca Hunt. Like there's so many ways that I found that there is a way of replenishing and also releasing that isn't in one way, but I do love watching Avatar: The Last Airbender, but it's like I find it in different ways, and I think that's been a real, like, sometimes it's journaling. I think that's been a really good thing to discover about myself. It's that it's not one path. Also with my career, it is not one path. The way that I process is not one path. So it's everywhere. It's just finding those moments to tell myself, okay, it's safe now, and it comes in many, many forms.
Well, I mean, we kicked things off by talking about you've been in your actor era for a while. You are obviously still in, you're performing in Game, Set, Match as well. So you've got two hats on this time. I know it's not the first time that you've performed in one of your, like in your own work, but does it feel different to when you're doing someone else's show?
Yes. Yeah. So with A Little Piece of Ash, I performed in it, but it was never my intention to do so. That was just me stepping in and I went, okay, here we go. And with Game, Set, Match, all those years ago, I didn't write it for myself. And then when Malthouse picked it up, they were like, here we go. Here's the big question. Are you going to do it? And I sat on it for months because I was like, I don't know because, and hesitated. And then I went, why not? Why not back myself, choose myself? And I mean, it's been a conversation between the ego of Meg the writer and the ego of Meg the actor going, okay, well, I've written this, so make it work. And then the actor going, but I've tried it and I can't, so maybe you fix it. So it's felt there's an argument. There are two wolves inside of me. It's been good, I think. Jessica Arthur, the director I have, is so good. We've set up a system where we go, okay, we're talking to acting Meg, we're talking to writer Meg. And writer sometimes doesn't want to leave. And I think actor is a little bit hesitant. But I don't know, I'm really excited by this challenge because I'm so scared of it. And I think that's an indicator to just run towards it because I've just never done anything like this before in my career. And I don't know, I feel like it's a gift. It's a gift I've been given, and I'm going to try my darndest to serve it because, oh, I don't know, I maybe you can hear it in my voice. I'm very nervous about it, but I want to do it, you know, because seeing Ursula Jovich do Barbara and the Camp Dogs and getting chills seeing a black woman own her words, and also seeing Leah Purcell in Drover's Wife and sitting in that audience and also watching the films and every iteration after. But it's that thing of going, I hope I can. It's exciting. It's scary. It's hard. It's a balance that I'm still trying to navigate. I'm excited because I would never get cast in this role. So it's a gift I'm trying to give myself, but also I didn't write it for myself. I just tried to write a really good, solid black lead.
Okay, so I'm really curious. When you say you don't think that you would typically be cast in this role, why?
I think that I'm at the moment, I'm considered quite a good comedy actor. And I love that. I am. I'm an excellent comedy actor, but also I'm an excellent dramatic actor. And to have these two married in a text, I don't know. Also, it's a rom-com until it isn't, you know? And big black woman with opinions don't usually get cast as romantic leads.
Which is a huge mistake.
Yes, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. As a big black woman, I am the romantic lead of my own life, and I've got a big black heart. Yeah, it's just that thing that I go, even sometimes I underestimate myself and I think that could potentially hold me back. But I also think that sometimes people casting these things underestimate me. So that's why I go, I don't know. Mm. I don't know if this would land on my desk, but it has. So, I mean, it was born from my desk, so it landed on it all right. Silly.
No, I love this. And then I want to just quickly backtrack. And when you were talking about actor Meg is a bit kind of nervous, is that typically how you are when you're first approaching a work, assuming it was written by somebody else?
I think I go through the ebbs and flows of it. I think she appears usually somewhere in the process where she takes a step back and goes, oh, maybe I've gotten it wrong. And it's not doubting my instincts. It's just going, I've got to look at the landscape before I map it out. I think it's a good thing when it comes to, you know, old established texts to take a step back and go, oh, maybe not. But at the moment, I'm trying to coax her out a bit more, going, no, but you assist in the new writing as well.
Mm.
You are also leading this. I think she's going, okay, writer, you do it and I'll just follow. And I'm going, no, but you're also my muse, my love. Please come sit with me. What do you want to do? What's yummy in your mouth? Because you're going to know the character more because you're going to have to bring it to life. So it's just that collaboration, but I think it does come up in my process. I'm a nervous person, I think. Yeah, confident but nervous at the same time.
It's just interesting to think about because I've seen you perform mm-hmm. a few times and you're a scene stealer, you know?
Oh, like, hey, thanks. Thank you. Appreciate. I hope that's a compliment. But
it
thank
is.
You.
Yeah. It's an absolute joy to watch you on stage.
Because I think it's got to be that inevitable thing, though. Like, I think fear is a natural thing, and to deny it just makes it worse.
Mm.
I'd rather sit down, have a cup of tea with, you know, my fear, my anxieties, and go, okay, what do you want to talk about? What's the yarn? Have that moment with them, and then go, okay, that's good. I can hold that. I can put it in my pocket and then we can walk out there and have a great time. I've got to face my fears to be fearless when I'm on the stage or when I'm performing. Like, I think it has to all live at the same time, because I think to deny it, I think you start to shut down a bit, and I think you can see when people are denying stuff on stage because it's all about openness and truth. So,
oh, tell me about your co-star.
Oh, classic. Sorry. No.
There's two of yous up there.
There is. Hey, we can do a quick little like, and the white man, tell you about my co-star, Rick Davies. He's fantastic. He's come into this. It's not an easy role, but he's a G. I've loved getting to know him. We actually worked together way, 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 way back when, very, very briefly, on a TV show with Hamish and Andy. So random. But then we're meeting each other again in this capacity, and I love him. I love him so much. He's just come into it with his heart open, and there's nothing I can ask more of. You know, that's how we should approach things. So I really appreciate him. He's funny. He's lovely. And just like the room in general is just, I feel so held and safe, and I don't know how to express how how wonderful he is, how Jess is, how wonderful my stage manager Harry is, how wonderful my dramaturg Kezia is, Vivia, Dean, like everyone's just been so about this. It feels collaborative. It feels like a solid ship. So he's fun. I'm so excited to play these characters with him. It feels right. It feels good. Yeah, he's great.
What are you hoping Melbourne audiences take from this show?
Oh, what am I hoping Melbourne audiences take from this show? I want them to go, oh, that was good tennis.
Mm.
Yeah. I've really tried to write these two characters in a conversation that feels like tennis, which is back and forth and like gasps and just like clean lines, but also like desperation and playing to win. And I think tennis is, you know, naturally goes into theatre because you've like the whole thing as an actor, like one of the first things you get told in drama school is to play to win. And that is also how I think tennis players approach a match. So I hope Melbourne audiences come and see Game, Set, Match and go, oh, what great tennis.
The last time that audiences saw you, I think,
yes,
was on ABC's Always Was.
Yes.
Playing a very wise rainbow serpent with yes. some hot, hot takes and critiques
yes.
of our economy. I mean, the cost of living has gotten worse,
oh, yeah.
realistically, since January. And uh-huh. I wonder what the rainbow serpent, like if the rainbow serpent was to sell us on the idea of buying a theatre ticket in this cost of living crisis.
Stop it.
Like could what might they say?
I think the rainbow serpent will just go to the theatre, it's escapism, you know? So uh-huh, what better place to get lost, you know? We are the first storytellers of the world, so let's go back to the theatres.
You heard her. Treat yourself to some theatre. That was Megan Wilding. She was speaking with me about her play Game, Set, Match, which is on at Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne now until May 23.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.